All right. Staying Alive, the Bee Gees. Staying Alive is kind of a background theme of our show because we are dedicated to helping our listeners stay alive as long as possible through health, holistic health, through longevity, through lifestyle, through happiness, through love, through a plant-based diet, through body, mind, spirit, through exercise, through the power of the mind, thinking positive. Do all those things, and we cover health pretty well with the newest and the best research, science, breakthroughs, and just the best. Also, we also talk about the various problems of the world, climate change, genetically engineered foods, and we have solutions, and we have great guests with information on that. So we're an all-around show, and I'm just happy to be here with you. I'm Bobby Elias, your host for Let's Create a Better World, and we have a great guest today, David Serio. He's a cleanser. He's an all-around health guy that worked with Dr. Bob Marshall. I'll introduce him in a few minutes. I just have a couple more announcements here. Okay, first of all, next week's show, March the 7th, a Wednesday, and always at 5 o'clock Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Veronica Gabrielle will be with us. She is going to talk about trust. Now, that's a big subject, believe me. It has to do with a lot of things to do with how you think, how you really get yourself. This woman is a spiritualist. She is deep into meditation and a lot of great stuff. So be sure to listen to that show March the 7th, Wednesday next week. All right. At the end of the show today, I'm going to give you predictions on the Oscars. Every year I hit them. I do very, very well. I have made money doing this, and I'm going to show you some really great picks, some predictions on who's going to win Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Supporting, and Supporting. We're going to hit them all at the end of the show, so stay tuned with that. Plus, I have a couple more announcements at the end, so be sure to hear. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to have a song, Cry, 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 by Johnny Cash. This show is dedicated to you, the listeners. I'm very, very dedicated. I'm very happy, pleased, and honored to have you, the listeners, hear this show because I am caring, dedicated, and I want to make this a great show for you to learn about all the things that we talk about. All right. Another announcement. There's a big health show coming up next weekend, February 9th, 10th, and 11th. March 9th, 10th, and 11th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then in September, it'll be in Baltimore. But this one is going to be in Anaheim, California, at the Convention Center. Close to 100,000 people in and out for 3 days, over 1,000 vendors. It's the biggest trade show in the world for health. And the health field has doubled every 2 years. It's incredible. We're talking about people buying more great stuff, vitamins, food, supplements, everything to do with health. It's growing maddening fast. So tune in to our show. We'll give you a report on that. We'll have another report next week, and then afterwards we'll possibly have a great guest to talk about health again. All right. What else do we have here for announcements? I think we're just about through with the announcements. Don't forget the Oscars at the end of the movie, at the end of the show, and then some more predictions on some more information on new things that are happening for our show. All right. Let's get to our guest. His name is David Serio. He is a nutritional biochemist. He's about to get his doctorate degree in nutritional biochemistry. He's been practicing medicine for 20 years, helping a lot of people through chronic illnesses. Worked with Dr. Bob Marshall, the famous doctor who passed away, 8, 9, 10 months ago. And David does a lot of things. We're going to talk about cleansing today. And then we're going to talk about a new year, a new start, a new beginning for all of you from A to Z. We're going to talk about how you can live a better life and get started immediately for the newest things that David's going to talk about, and I'm here to back him up and talk also about it. So, with that, David Cirio, how are you doing, David?
Hello, it's delighted to be with you. Thank you. Good to hear from you.
Yes, yes, and you know, I've met you and we've talked, and I really like you because you are a modern holistic doctor of all around cleanser, and you're into so many different things, and we're going to talk about all those things today. So the first thing, though, is, yeah, the first thing is let's talk about cleansing for a good while, because to me that is so important to get your body cleansed out, because our bodies are all, most of us are toxic, heavy metals, yep, a lot of junk in them, and we need to clean them out. We need to have elimination better. We need to do the whole thing. So I'll let you take it from there on cleansing. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I think the first thing that I think about when I speak with patients and clients and even teach the subject in seminar settings is that we want to think of our bodies more as a sponge than an armadillo. We often think, well, we've got this tough shell of skin and, you know, we're fairly impervious to chemicals or anything in the environment. And the opposite is true. We actually breathe in because of the 1 to 2 millimeter thick membrane that we call the alveoli that we breathe in. And we actually consume and breathe in more oxygen, more air by weight than we do in terms of drinking water, eating food, because we're breathing every second of the day. So we consume a lot of air. And in that air, of course, we know there's a lot of dust. It's known that 50% of airborne pollutants, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, attach themselves to dust molecules. So you're breathing this stuff in, and your body somehow has to detoxify it. It gets into your system. Many of these chemicals are free radical in nature, so it acts like a molecular time bomb in your body. So you're right. You're consuming constantly through the air we breathe, through the water we drink in some cases. You go to restaurants and the water they're using to make soups is not purified water in most cases. You're lucky if it's filtered. And then, of course, the food with the attendant chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides that they spray on a lot of the commercial foods that you get in restaurants. When you're at home, at least, you have the opportunity to buy organic. But many of us eat out, obviously. So you're taking in these chemicals, and as I said, you're more like a sponge. You're absorbing heavy metals, toxic metals, chemicals into your body on a regular basis. So cleansing has to do with, of course, increasing the detoxification of those. The normal detoxification pathway, of course, is primarily your liver in its ability to break down these chemicals, attach certain other molecules to them to render them harmless, and then you can excrete them through the kidney usually or through the bowel. So cleansing is just simply lowering the total toxic load of these chemicals coming in, you know, taking a break from drinking as much alcohol as you do or eating out fast food or something that you might be doing, and then maybe engaging in something such as colon cleansing through colonics or coffee enemas. Maybe doing some juice fasting. So instead of consuming one of your three meals a day, choosing to do some vegetable juice like carrot, celery, kale juice is a good choice. That's a really good start in terms of thinking about cleansing, starting with the large intestine, the colon, and then moving into the liver and the gallbladder. And of course, these types of cleanses are prolific. They're all over the internet, but I know that you recommend certain ones, Bob, and as I do.
Yes, excellent. Well, you know, let's say for our listeners that don't know much about cleansing, you're going to give us a real 1, 2, 3 on it today. But what I know, I highly recommend that they go to a cleanser like yourself, and we're going to give your number out mm-hmm. later in case. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are in back east and all over the country, but at least those that might be able to see you or get your consultation at least for a few mm-hmm. minutes, I strongly recommend you give your number out at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely.
But for those that can't go to a cleanser, at least to get ready for a cleanser, or at least to do some on their own, what would you recommend that they could do?
Well, I would recommend since we have our wonderful Whole Foods market with juice bars almost in every state and every city in the nation now, not quite, but in the larger cities. I would at least try to get a juice. If you can't make your own, if you don't own your own juicer and you're not willing to go and go through that process, I would go and start doing some fresh vegetable juicing. And I would start with something like a 16 to 24 ounce carrot celery. You can always add spinach or kale to that to make it a little greener, more chlorophyll. But the carrot celery is a very excellent cleansing juice. It's very alkalinizing. It's excellent for your joints and your kidney and your liver. That's a good starting point. It's also very palatable to most people. They drink it. It doesn't taste terrible like some of the combinations do. So that's one recommendation. The other recommendation, which they can find out on my website and certainly get more information through calling us, is doing the coffee enema procedure. And it sounds a little strange if you've never done it, but I feel so strongly that it's one of the most important things every human being can do. Because if we have a place in our body that needs a deep, thorough hydro cleansing, meaning with water, warm water, it's the colon. The colon, the large intestine of our bodies, is like a septic tank. And, of course, we all know what a septic tank does. And it's meant to just hold waste. So, you know, we consume over a lifetime over 100,000 pounds of food. So you can imagine picturing the standard American diet, your body incinerating 100,000 pounds of the standard American diet, or even, you know, if you're a meat eater or you eat fried foods occasionally, or you eat, you know, white flour like most of us do occasionally, eventually you build up a residue. They call it impacted fecal matter in the diverticuli of the colon. And these are little pockets, little folds in the colon that food can get trapped in. And this is where the cleansing from using water, warm water, or coffee enemas just kind of have a stimulating effect, can do a great job at cleansing out the lower bowel. This helps the skin to look more youthful. You'll get a much more beautiful glow in your skin after you do a few of these. You'll have more energy. You'll sleep better. I mean, it just does so many things, and it's practically free to do. It's just a matter of getting over the stigma, if you've never done it, and saying, well, I'm going to give it a try and be open-minded.
Right. It's so important for everyone to go through a cleanse, especially with someone like yourself, a professional cleanser. Mm-hmm. I'm Bobby Lee. This is Let's Create a Better World. We are speaking with David Cerio, who is a cleanser. He's mostly known, his official title is as a nutritional biochemist. And you're about to get your degree in that you're working on it right now. So more on cleansing, I'll let you just take up more ideas on things that our listeners can do and just how the importance of it. And how I like what you said about the fact that you can feel better, you can sleep better. And, you know, these are things that I need to do. So I'm going to be seeing you for a cleanse myself, mm-hmm. for real, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead and continue on. Go ahead, doctor.
Well, speaking of some of these benefits, Bob, is the also thinking more clearly. You know, when you do things to help increase your overall physiologic energy, your physical energy, energy and enthusiasm go together just like fatigue and depression go together. If you're more fatigued, you're tired, you're not getting enough sleep, maybe you ate too big of a meal, you know how you get a little down, a little negative, and you just don't feel wonderful. It's hard to project being positive. But when you have more energy, you feel more enthusiastic, you feel like you're going to get out there and do something positive. So that's where I think doing something cleansing-wise, cleansing the colon, starting there, and then moving into the next stage for all of us, for the most part, unless you don't have a gallbladder. If you've had your gallbladder removed, then this procedure is not for you. And that would be doing a liver and gallbladder flush, which is specifically to help cleanse out sludge and stones out of the gallbladder. And that can be done relatively easy. It's not doesn't have to be terribly complicated, but it is a procedure that you have to learn how to do. It's best to be supervised by somebody like myself, where you can do it safely but effectively, going to the proper eating program for 10 to 20 days leading up to it, doing fresh juicing, and then finally, and taking the right supplementation that helps to start breaking up the sludge and the stones. So then when you actually do the flush procedure, you may see stones and sludge from the gallbladder, little green pea type of stones come out. Many, many people, patients I've worked with over the years have seen them, and they were very happy after they did it. But it is it's a procedure that's a little bit, requires a commitment of some time and setting some time aside and the willingness to go through something that's a little bit different. But when you do, you're usually extremely happy, just like doing the coffee enema procedure. So many people I've helped supervise that, and they have a big smile on their face after, and they say, oh, I feel so good. So it's something that you have to step out in faith a little bit and just say, this cleansing is a really, really good idea. I don't understand it completely, but I think I'm going to give it a try and engage in it because it just makes sense.
Yeah, David, I had a cleansing once, and it really, I just like you said, it made me feel so, so good, so relaxed, mm-hmm. at ease, and it's just so good for the body. Let me touch on a few points, and then I want to get your thoughts on these points. Number one, we advise people on this show to eat smaller meals. People eat these gigantic meals, and it's really hard on your stomach. Man, the worst than that is they don't chew their food well. They chew, drink. Two or three or four chew. I saw a lady the other day at a restaurant, and she would put a big spoon of food in her mouth and chew it about three times, and within two or three seconds, another scoop. Come on, that's ridiculous. I went over and talked to her.
Inhaling.
And I think I got across to you. But on those two points, eating smaller meals and chewing your food, I want to get your thoughts on those two things.
I think that's great advice. We used to say, my mentor, Dr. Bob Marshall, used to say, don't try to get all your food in one meal. And that's a nice, simple way of putting it. If you think about it, that's almost like a caveman diet, right? The caveman would sort of go out there, get their kill for the day, and they'd have to eat that one meal and just gorge because they might not get another meal for 24 or 48 hours. So, yeah, you don't want to try to eat all your food in one meal. I think breaking it up in two meals, but eating smaller amounts at a time is a lot easier on your digestive system, and because 60% of your whole immune system is embedded within your digestive tract, it also takes a load off of your immune system when you don't overeat. Another thing to think about, part of the digestive organs is not just the small and large intestine, it's also the liver, the pancreas. So you're not stressing the stomach, the liver, and the pancreas as much when you eat smaller meals as well. And of course, if you want to go one step further, it's really not a bad idea to separate, to the extent that you can reasonably separate your heavy starch meals from your heavy protein meals. That helps a lot of people with dyspepsia, indigestion, gastritis, esophageal reflux, all kinds of different digestive disorders can be remediated and improved simply by not eating starchy foods with your heavy protein foods, just simply separating them by 30, 45 minutes at least. And it does take a little bit more planning, but it's very helpful and it's really made a difference in a lot of people I know.
We're speaking to David Cerio, who's worked with Dr. Bob Marshall. David is a cleanser and he is a biochemist, nutritional biochemist, I should say. And he's great. I've had a chance to talk with him. We've had him on this show once before, over a year ago, and it took a while to get him back on, but he's here. I wanted to say a couple things, David. The size of your stomach is the size of your fist for most people.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Yes.
And then the other thing is, Americans eat huge, big meals, and Americans are the sickest people per capita in the world. And this is why we have so many problems with digestion, with everything to do with food and your kidneys, your liver, cancer, heart disease, you name it. This country is sick, and a lot of it has to do with the diet. Your thoughts on that, please.
Absolutely. That back to the standard American diet, which unfortunately is abbreviated SAD, because we have allowed through our marvelous social system of capitalism, which I'm a big pro-capitalist guy, but there is a negative side to that, which is that anybody that comes along and says, I've got a good idea, well, that good idea was was, I forget his name. I think it was Ray Kroc that started McDonald's. It was the older gentleman that started Carl's Jr. And all these guys came along and they, you know, they were entrepreneurs and they wanted to create a very low cost opportunity to provide food to people. And I think it's fed many people that otherwise couldn't afford to eat. So there's a good side to it. And there's the negative side. The negative side obviously is the, supersize me, you know, that we've all seen, where, you know, you'd get obese and bloated and basically sick from eating that kind of food on a regular basis. And we know, I know you know people, Bob, as well as I do, that they've gotten very sick from just simply eating too much fast food. So I think that it's the food that choices of the diet that has raised the morbidity and mortality rate. And you're absolutely right about, you know, per capita, we have marvelous emergency crisis intervention medicine in America. But in terms of per capita morbidity and mortality, we're way up high on the list, which we really should not be. So our knowledge base is very high. There's a lot of shows like this one that, you know, disseminate very excellent information about what you should be eating and not be eating, and what's in the best interest of almost everyone's genes, even though we can be individual and biochemically unique. There's still certain things that all of us should think about, like generally speaking, it's not a good idea for any of us to eat a lot of deep fried food. That doesn't mean you can't have a little bit and cheat right. once in a while. But when you eat the standard American diet, eat a lot of bread, a lot of fried foods, too much meat, obviously, even though I'm not opposed to some meat. I think that it's a huge problem when you consume too much meat. It's very acidifying to the body and difficult to break down eventually. And this is where you overwhelm your stomach enzymes, your pancreatic enzymes. You leach a lot of minerals out of your body. And ultimately, you end up with undigested food in the intestine, which leads to incomplete right. breakdown products, which then leads to allergies. We wonder why allergies and asthma is so prolific. Well, it has a lot to do with the diet, too.
And, you know, that's why people are putting so much pressure on their liver. The liver's working around the clock with yes. many people that keep eating. I know people that in the middle of the night, they get up and they go eat. They can't. And, I mean, we had a guy that was 600 pounds he weighed. And mm-hmm. it took him 49 days to have a bowel movement because he was so – he couldn't do it because there was a certain doctor that I know here in Los Angeles that was schooling, helping him. And mm-hmm. finally he went to the bathroom and his wife told the doctor, he said, I knew he was full of it. So this is a true story. But aside from all that, the foods that we eat are so bad. They're genetic. Here's what I want to say. I know that you believe in the capitalist system. I understand and respect your thoughts. One of the things that I don't like about it is that the corporations that are Big Agra and the food companies, diet companies,
yes.
they feed on bad foods, genetically engineered yes. foods, foods that have junk in them, foods that have colors in them, foods that are really bad, white processed foods. Not enough mm-hmm. of what we like to call on our show is the Mediterranean diet, the plant-based diet, mm-hmm. where there's more That's vegetables, right. more fruits. Your thoughts on why, on what I just said?
Actually, that's the other part I didn't get to, and I totally agree with you, is as much as I'm pro-capitalist, I also think there has to be limits to what these companies, just like they put limits on cigarette advertising at one point, it was perfectly acceptable, and they could advertise to anybody, anytime, as much as they wanted to. Well, then we finally got smart and said, you know, they have to start creating a fund for these people. They're getting emphysema and lung disease because they're advertising and selling them, getting people hooked, including kids, on cigarette smoking, which is very addictive, as we know. Well, the same thing is with fast food. Fast food is very addictive. I think they even use certain ingredients that are intended to be addictive. In fried food, we know, is like French fries are yeah. pretty much addictive. So I think there has to be a balance, and I don't think we can outlaw fast food necessarily, but I think the awareness needs to be brought much higher that this could be extremely detrimental. I mean, they're starting to make them put stickers about acrylamide, about acrylamides in French fries and in coffee and different highly heated things. So acrylamides are known to be cancer-causing compounds, and they're very high in fried foods. So there's actually been testimony in Congress about the fact that the acrylamides cause cancer. It's scientifically agreed upon. They're extremely high in French fries. So the question arose in Congress, gee, should we be making French fries, you know, borderline illegal, unlawful?
Yeah.
So, and of course, they, you know, it's a huge industry, and it's kind of like saying, you know, we're going to start prohibition again. You know, instead of that, they're legalizing things like marijuana. They're going the other directions, which I don't think is a great idea. But nonetheless, I don't think they're going to outlaw fast food. But so what we need to do as health educators is simply bring the awareness to the public that these foods are so deleterious to your body. You're doing yourself a great disservice unless you just do it once in a blue moon. You're really hurting your body, and you're asking for a chronic disease of some sort down the road, whether that's diabetes, cancer, heart disease, you name it, or bad, just simply bad skin and indigestion and asthma or allergies.
Dementia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, everything. I mean,
there you go. All of the above. All that bad oil. You're right. All that bad oil is terrible for the brain and as well.
Right. The brain, the heart, everything. Cancer is going bonkers all over in this country, and it's because of the food, the diet, and all these things. And I have to blame the big money corporations that are doing all this. I mean, it's ridiculous. They don't care about you and I, how we eat. All they care about is a big profit, and that's bad.
They want the almighty dollar, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're speaking to David Cerio. He is an all-around cleanser and a biochemist, a nutritional biochemist, and he's got a lot to offer. We have a lot of things to talk about on this show, and we're going to keep going at it with everything from A to Z about our listeners. And let's talk about this, David. We want to, even though it's late February, I did promise our listeners that during the first 2 months of this show, we were going to, most of the guests are going to say at least something, a little something about the new year, how a new beginning, a new way to eat, to drink, to live. And it can be lifestyle, but it's a little everything. But in our case, right now on this show, we're talking about food, cleansing, diet. Mm-hmm. And I do want to bring up sodas and all the horrible sugar that's in them. But I'll let you go from there. But a new beginning. Go ahead.
Well, a new beginning, for those of you that are listening that are even occasional, much less frequent soda drinkers, that would be a really intelligent start would be to cut way back on the sodas, try to wean off, try to get to, if you drink, you know, three a day, try to limit yourself to one a day. And then at some point, maybe you can limit it to once every other day. For those of you that only drink it occasionally, I would continue to only drink it very, very occasionally, because sodas, I mean, even occasional sodas are not a good idea. Those of you who have been drinking them on a regular basis, I would take it very seriously and say that's something that would be a good idea if you're going to turn over a new leaf for the new year and say, I'm going to really start doing things to promote better health and give myself, you know, just an opportunity to feel better. That's a good start. The other thing I would do would be to, that's a something you're taking away. Now, what are we doing to add? And the add part is try to make a large leafy green salad, preferably with organic produce, on at least once a day, on a daily basis, large salad. That's a really good idea to do. And if you have to have something that make it taste good, whether it's good, you know, that your favorite dressing, just, you know, search out a good, healthy salad dressing, whatever that may be, at a health food store, something hopefully that's made with better quality oil, or right. You can even get oil-free. And then the last thing I would say is adding into your lifestyle fresh juicing. Fresh juicing is just one of the most simple, most powerful ways to use food from nature, not necessarily a nutritional supplement, although I think a lot of nutritional supplements can be excellent and be helpful. But when you do fresh juicing or using a Vitamixer and grinding up, you know, celery, spinach, fresh organic fruit, you know, mixed berries, which I do almost on a daily basis. Boy, does that become good. A nutrient-dense superfood smoothie. And it tastes good, and it's really good for you, and it gives you a lot of energy.
Yes, exactly. You know, you hit something on berries. Berries are becoming more well-known to health advocates and the industry as great food for so many things. All the reds, the cherries, the berries, they're just immensely really good, as well as the greens. Of course, the greens are your first number one thing. I sell some of Gary Knoll's health products. One is called Green Stuff, and the other one's called Red Stuff. And they're both, I take them every day, both of those. And we also get raw sprouted vegetables. We have a program, a product called Cruciferous. So I'm into that. I mean, every single day, and I exercise, the power of the mind, I work at sleeping better, I do all these things, and I feel great. I like to think that I am kind of like a model citizen for our radio show. So that's what I try to do. And anyway, we're speaking to David Serio about health, a new beginning. Let's continue with the new beginning thing about things that people can do to eat, what to avoid, just a plant-based diet. You mentioned the oils. So let's talk about the oils. And if you want to go more into juicing, any of the things I just said, the farm is yours. Go ahead.
Well, I think with the oils, you know, it's very important to incorporate all the essential fatty acids. As we get older, over 40, especially over 50, you have to start thinking about the desaturated fatty acids such as EPA, DHA, which, you know, are uniquely in cod liver oil or salmon oil. And these are the good idea to supplement from a good source once you're, like I said, up into your 40s and 50s for better brain health, better cognitive and short-term memory function, better for ocular function and protect the eyes from ocular diseases. The cod liver oil contains both the A and the D. The salmon oil is a little bit higher in the EPA, DHA fatty acids, which are very helpful for the retina of your eye and for the brain. We've all heard about the importance of DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, for children, for the development of the young immature brains. So these are fatty acids that are very, very important. They do come from algae and other sources, not just from cod liver and other fish oils. But generally, that's what we, if you want the EPA, DHA together, it's either cod liver oil or salmon oil. But generally, as you're in your 30s, 40s, even 50s, flaxseed oil, which, you know, is what we usually call EFA oil, some type of essential fatty acid oil, that's generally flat from flax and different sources, but flax is probably the best well-known, most balanced source of linoleic and alpha-linolenic acids. From those two fatty acids, the body can then produce all the other fatty acids. They're the only two that are technically absolutely essential, linoleic and alpha-linolenic. From those, you can make gamma-linolenic, you can make the EPA, the DHA, and a number of other important fatty acids that the body needs. Given the fact that you don't consume too much hydrogenated oil, when you consume highly heated oil, then that blocks the desaturous enzymes from doing their job. Then you have to supplement things like fish oils. I usually recommend to my patients that they take a flaxseed oil supplement in addition to one of the good oils like cod liver oil.
David, great information about oils. You covered it so, so well. I totally agree, and I love what you had to say. Let me say what I do in the morning. Quite often, I'll have make sure I have berries, and I put them into a oatmeal that I'll have, or a cereal of some kind. And I'll always have flaxseed oil every single day in the morning. And it, like you said, it may be the number one oil of all, or the number one supplement to your diet of that sort. So I agree with that 100%. Let's continue on to any more things to give our listeners about health and about how they can get a new beginning and how they can begin to live better. So far, the information you're giving is excellent, David. I'm really happy that you're here with us today. This is David Serio speaking. I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. Hang in there with us, because we have a great song and we have more information at the end of the show. And I'm going to give my predictions on the Oscar races every year. I hit them quite heavy. And we do have a few updates, but I'm going to give that at the end of the show. You know, David, I used to make money on that. I still have people calling me for my consultation, because I've been involved in the movie business quite a bit. And I know a lot of people. And plus, some people just have that sense of what's going to happen. And I'm lucky to have some of that. Anyway, let's get back to health and the foods and the diet, juicing, drinking lots of water, how to live during the things to do, the difference between summer and winter, cold weather and warm weather, some of the things they can do to be healthier.
That's great that you brought that up. Yeah, warm weather, there is a difference. You have to consume a little bit more calories. We all know that the term calorie means nothing more than heat unit. It's simply a measure of heat unit. So calories aren't generally bad for you. Too many calories in relation to how much, too much caloric intake in relation to how much calories you're burning or spending every day, obviously is a calculation of whether you're likely to gain weight more or lose weight. That's an absolute true fact. But it's a generalization. So from there, you have to start asking, it's a question of calorie intake with respect to nutrient density. So calories with nutrient density, what's a good example of that? A good example would be flaxseed, just like you were talking about. Flaxseeds, when you grind up fresh organic flaxseeds, you're getting a very high calorie food per gram.
Yes.
Because it's high in fat, right? There's 10 calories per gram of fat versus 5 calories per gram of protein or carbohydrate. So fat helps that calorie heat unit, helps to keep us warmer. So you want to consume a little bit more fat, more flaxseed oil, more avocado. There's another wonderful nutrient-dense food. So the name of the game in terms of nutrition and biochemistry and overall longevity, anti-aging, is to always think in terms of nutrient-dense foods. It's not about the zone. It's not about Atkins or, what's this latest one? Caveman diet, whatever.
Right.
People get off into these trends of different, things. It really boils down to is the food appropriate for you as an individual, meaning you're not allergic to it anyway? If you're Asian, you probably shouldn't be consuming a lot of dairy because most Asians don't have the lactase enzymes to break down a lot of dairy. Same thing with African American. Not a good thing for them generally for their genetics. If you're Asian, you also might not be able to tolerate a lot of sulfites in red wine. Your liver just doesn't like red wine. Might be able to handle organic, no sulfite added white wine a lot easier. That's an example. So you have to kind of ask these questions. And, when it comes to the foods that we're eating, the food of one can be the poison of another. So you have to really ask what's appropriate for you and what's got the highest nutrient density. And when you're eating things that are, more fast food related or foods that from restaurants that, they're just more fun foods, you can do that occasionally and get away with it. Not a big deal. But if you have a meal that's kind of questionable, make sure your next meal is super nutrient dense. You can make it taste good and enjoy it, but at the same time, make sure it's got a lot of nutrient density in it.
Absolutely. Good information. Mm-hmm. David, you're really great. You really know health from A to Z, especially talking about the diet, but so many other things, the oils, the juicing. I want your take on this. I'm going to tell you some more things that I do. I told you about the oatmeal and the berries in the morning and the juicing. And I have the red juice, I have the green juice, and I have a cruciferous juice every day. And I'll spread out within 2 or 3 hours. And I feel so good, David. I'm on top of the world. The way I feel, I walk, I can power walk a lot better. I can exercise more. I just feel so good. Let me tell you.
Yes.
Anyway, here's some more on the way I do it. I want your thoughts on this. I have a real plant-based diet, vegetables, a lot of vegetables, a lot of juicing. I do juicing in the mornings a lot, as I mentioned, the reds, the greens, and the cruciferous, as well as other juices, and as well as putting flaxseed oil and other nutrients. And then during my meals, I have plenty of vegetables. I have soups. I have fruits, brown rice, black beans, legumes. And all this, I chew my food, well, nice and well. Some people say 30 or 40 times. I do at least 20, and I advise 20, 25, 30 for everything you eat. And then I eat slow, very slow, because it's just better. This way I can chew it more, and it goes into my system as more of a liquid as opposed to something real hard, and my liver doesn't get worked so hard. And then smaller meals. I have five small meals a day, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock I have a very, very light something real kind of watery, kind of liquidish. So your thoughts on that and anything else you want to add to any of how people can eat and drink and live the way I just mentioned?
Well, I have to say, you just described probably the optimum thing that I can think of in terms of digestive physiology for all human beings. Smaller meals make sense. Chewing your food well. You were talking about the lady that you had seen in the restaurant that was sort of inhaling, as we say, her food. And nothing could be worse because, you know, it gets the food down your esophagus into your stomach. But the problem is it's not been masticated, you know, chewed up properly. So you're forcing the stomach enzymes, the HCL and the pepsin, to do a lot more work than it's really intended to do. So it's going to sit there a lot longer before it drops into the duodenum, first segment of your small intestine, to then be further broken down. It's just overwhelming the stomach, and I think that's where you were talking about bloating and expanding the stomach in an unnatural way when it's really like the size of our fist. You know, you're just not meant to half-chew food and then swallow big chunks of meat or chunks of almost anything. Even vegetables unchewed could be a problem because we don't have cellulose like a little termite does to enzymatically break down the cellulose. It has to be broken down through chewing and then finally through microbial action in our gut through friendly bacteria to fully get broken down and utilized and absorbed. So you're absolutely right. The chewing and taking your time and then, you know, that way you fully absorb the food and the nutrients that you're supposed to be getting. And that's so smart.
Good. I'm glad you agree with that, and I know you would because you teach all these things, and you're excellent. And as I told you earlier on the show, and when I told you on the phone today, I really want to get together with you because now it might be a good time to talk about what you're into some new things, new programs, new ways. This is not a selling point. This is more of a letting our people know some of the things that are happening, some of the things you're working on. To advise people on what's going on in the world of food, diet, and products. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, in terms of food, I think that the key is making small changes. You know, wherever you happen to be, some of your listeners are real enthusiasts and they already do, you know, superfood meal replacement shakes, you know, smoothies, all organic ingredients, and they already eat a lot of vegan, raw organic vegan or vegetarian dishes, maybe some meats, but they're grass-fed meat if they do. If you do eat meat, just eat smaller portions. That way you can actually hopefully fully digest it. Digestive enzymes when you eat cooked meat is essential, critical to take digestive enzymes, hydrochloric acid and the so-called pancreatic enzymes such as protease, amylase, and lipase. So those are important points. But I would say that the most important thing, Bob, is to focus on nutrient density, always going back to smaller portions, as you said, not inhaling your food. Some of the things that I've been working on recently is we all talk about whole foods are usually superior to something that's a refined food. A juice would be a partitioned food. So that's a little bit of an exception because fresh vegetable juice, and you're removing the fiber, but we still encourage, obviously, people to eat vegetable fiber, whether it's steamed or raw. But when you juice, you're able to concentrate the nutrient density with the watery part of the vegetable, whether it's carrot, celery, kale, parsley, whatever, and you're able to increase the nutrient density dramatically. So then you're turning a food into somewhat of a medicine. Who was it that said, let your food be your medicine be your food?
Hippocrates.
Medicine, right? So that's where I think it's important to focus on doing things that we know sometimes are medicinal, but at the same time, you do want to eat the whole food. So in the concept of whole foods are better than than highly refined foods. I think the same thing is true for nutritional supplements. I'm sure Dr. Noel would agree, you know, food supplements that are more food-based just make a lot more sense. Kind of like the cruciferous greens that you're taking. He has that supplement, the greens and the berries and things like that. So what I did was I helped with a couple of partners create an app for Android and Apple that can scan nutritional products and give you a thumbs up or thumbs down based on ingredients that are in the product that are either questionable or maybe it's not questionable. It's just really a good product. And we have different criteria in this app. And so if you'd like to check it out, it's something that can help you make a buying decision when you're standing at Whole Foods, buying a nutritional supplement or wherever you might be. It's called VitaScore.
Okay, that's good advice. We've only got a few minutes left, so Quinn, let's start with your contact information, and please read it slowly so that people can hear it and understand it. We do have some people that are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And because Gary Noel's been on radio 41 years, longer than anyone, he's got people that have been with him for all these years, so you know that some of them are aging. But slowly with that, and then your contact information, and then let me take it from there. I'm going to finish up with one or two more minutes with you on something else. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention I've been a fan of Dr. Noel for many years myself. I've read his column. He's written a column in one of the scientific journals, the Townsend Letter for Doctors, for many years. And he's just so respected, very credible, very authoritative doctor in our field. And we owe a debt of gratitude to him for all the work he's done. My my name again is David Serio, soon to be Dr. David Serio. My website is nutritionalmedicine.com. Once again, that's nutritional with an A-L at the end, medicine.com, just like it sounds. And on that website, there's a contact, but I'll give you our toll-free number. It's 888-405-2121.
Good. Okay, we're going to post some of that on our on the at the end of the show. We do a description, and the following day, this show will be on the archives. Not only on the online we have two online archives, different ones, and we also have a telephone archives where people that don't have a computer or some older people that prefer just hearing the show on their phone, then we give that number out too. Okay, final thoughts. We've got. Let me see how much time we have here for 2 minutes. Give us some encouragement, motivation to our listeners as to some of the things we just talked about earlier and how they need to really get on the ball and start a new beginning, a new way to eat, to live, and to be healthy and cleanse themselves and the whole thing. You got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I would say, and something like this, every day that goes by, we have an opportunity to either move forward and do something positive for our health or remain where we're at, which is probably degenerating. It's probably like you're slipping into degeneration. And as we age, the normal aging process, Bob, as you know, is one of breaking down. That's the catabolic activity faster than you're building up, which is anabolic activity. We've all heard of anabolic steroids, but that's not a bad thing. Anabolic, when you're young, you've got more steroid hormones, like testosterone and estrogen, to build up off of the DNA template equally while you're breaking down, because we all break down cells and tissue in order to regenerate. But we're supposed to have the raw materials and building blocks and hormones to direct all those raw materials to continually build up off of the DNA template appropriately. And that way, we maintain our body weight without getting overweight, and we maintain our immune response. We're immune competent, so we don't succumb to viral infections and fungal infections and parasitic infections. And that way we can fight off the hostile external environment with our body. And this is just so critical that you always think in terms of doing those things that are positive on a daily basis. And they might be very little, like you might be a 60, 75-year-old person, but you can go out and go for a walk. But you're a little lazy. You like to sit in front of the TV and watch. Take the time, take the initiative to go out and go for a walk. And I'll tell you why. it's been proven in research that as you force yourself to do a little bit of activity, walking, maybe you're able to get on a life cycle, recumbent or other life cycle, or even a mountain bike. When you do that, you have a little organelle in every muscle cell called mitochondria. And mitochondria has the ability to upregulate. You can double your mitochondria, which is the energy generation of every human cell, all 60 to 75 trillion cells in your body. You can double them with enough exercise. Well, those are what give you energy. So essentially, when you get out and walk, you get out and hike, or you ride a mountain bike, whatever you enjoy doing, maybe it's playing racquetball or tennis, you're actually generating more energy for the rest of the day after you finish your exercise. You're not just expending energy. You are expending energy, but you're actually ultimately going to generate more energy than you would had you just sat around and done nothing. So that's something that I think is very encouraging for people to hear. There's a rationale and a good reason to get up off your rear end and actually go out and do something proactive, because you're either moving toward better health or you're going to be slipping and probably degenerating into older age. And if each one of us has a choice to make on a daily basis, you don't have to become an Olympian. We see the Olympic athletes and we see the pros and we all admire them, but we don't have to be that. We can just do what we can do on a daily basis and make that intelligent choice.
Good job. Good job. Excellent. I got to get off on some other things here, David. Thank you. You've been so wonderful. We're going to be in touch. And for our listeners, this show will be on the archives tomorrow. I'm going to give those numbers now. Thank you so much, David. You're an excellent, and congratulations on, you're about to be a doctor. You deserve it. You've been a doctor anyway, even without the title.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be with you.
Me, same here. All right. That was great. Really good. All right. Let me, a couple things I promised to give you, the winners of the Oscars. First of all, the one that should win easiest would be Gary Oldman for the movie about Winston Churchill called The Darkest Hour. He will win as the best actor. It's hands down. Very little chance that he'll lose. And that, if you're a betting person, that's the one to go with the biggest. All right. And then more winners. The movie The Shape of Water should win the best picture. That's not a cinch. Three Billboards is right there, too. That could be an upset. Then the director for Shape of Water, he should win the best director thing. Then other winners, the same Frances McDormand for best actress, Sam Rockwell, and Allison Jenny as favored to win the supporting actor and actress. That's it right there. There's always a chance for an upset because it's wide open, especially the best picture a little bit, but the only one that's a cinch is the Gary Oldman for Best Actor. So there it is. And then now here's some more information, and I hope if our engineer is there, give me a couple more minutes at least, please. All right, here's some more information now. For those that want to hear our show on the phone, I'm going to give you the archive number, first of all. And this show will be on button number one starting tomorrow. And then we go backwards with the shows that we've had the last few weeks, and which would be the on the 21st, on button number two is going to be a Dr. Christine Horner. On button number three will be our Jane Beloves Mitchell on the show about women and about how we can stop climate change, and on and on. So those are great shows. I want you to listen to our archives. And the number to call is 701-719-0994. All right. What else do I need to give you? I think that covers most everything. So let me say the thank yous for all the people that were on the show. First of all, David Cirio, who was just on right now as our guest. And I do want to say that next week we're going to have the show with Veronica Gabriel on trust. It's a great subject. So stay with us. We've had nothing but great shows over and over and over, and better and better. And we're not getting hacked like we used to. Before, we had a show on Saturday, which is a bad day because the staff's not in. And then we had one on Monday late, and the staff was gone by then. And if I got hacked, nothing I could do about it, or if there was any kind of problem. Now I'm clear sailing. We're getting more people with us. PRN is the best station in the world, number one in social media. This is a great station. So let me give you the thank yous. I gave you our guest today, David Cirio, and then Jesse is our PRN director, Progressive Radio Network. Alex, the engineer, thank you to those. Stuart Hassel is a producer. Then co-producers are Greg and Lydia. And then finally, I want to tune in, stay with us for the song Cry, Cry, Cry by Johnny Cash. And we'll be on again next week, 5 o'clock Eastern Time on Wednesdays. So with that, I also want to thank you, the listeners, for staying with us, being with us, and giving us a chance to help you with your life. Thank you. Next week, we'll see you.
Everybody knows where you go when the sun goes down. I think you only live to see the lights uptown. I wasted my time when I would try, try, try. 'Cause when the lights have lost their glow, you cry, cry, cry. Sugar daddies will all be gone. You wake up some cold day and find you're alone. You'll call for me, but I'm gonna tell you bye, bye, bye. When I turn around and walk away, you'll cry, cry, cry. You're gonna cry.